Acts 4:23. The believers pray. On their release, Peter and John went back to their own people and reported all that the chief priests and elders had said to them. When they heard this, they raised their voices together in prayer to God. Sovereign Lord, they said, you made the heavens and earth and the sea and everything in them. You spoke by the Holy Spirit through the mouth of your servant, our father David. Why do the nations rage and the peoples plot in vain? The kings of the earth rise up and the rulers band together against the Lord and against his anointed one. Indeed, Herod and Pontius Pilate met together with the Gentiles and the people of Israel in this city to conspire against your holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed. They did what your power and will had decided beforehand should happen. Now, Lord, consider their threats and enable your servants to speak your word with great boldness. Stretch out your hand to heal and perform signs and wonders through the name of your holy servant Jesus. After they prayed, the place where they were meeting was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God boldly.
As we stand, let us pray. Father God, as we come now to study your word, I just pray that you'll be with each one of us. Give us open ears and open hearts and open minds to hear what you have to say to each one of us this morning. We ask it in your namesake. Amen. Please do sit down. You might find it helpful to have the Acts passage in front of you. So that's Acts chapter 4. It's on page 1096, starting at verse 23. It's 1096. So when things don't go your way, or you're faced with opposition to something you don't want to do, what is your natural reaction? Is it to respond with boldness, with determination not to be beaten, to overcome whatever the challenge is? Or is your response one to just retreat, to step back, perhaps through fear, or maybe just because that's the easier option? You don't want to rock the boat or cause more trouble. For me, it's generally the latter. It's much easier, less scary to let things drop, anything for a quiet life. But what we'll see in our passage today is the disciples' response in the face of opposition. And it's one that may surprise us. For when faced with challenge, the disciples don't shy away, but respond by turning to God and praying for boldness. In the verses immediately before our reading, Peter and John have been arrested for preaching the gospel and for healing the lame man at the temple. They were commanded not to speak or teach at all in the name of Jesus. And then they were released. They had been told they must stop doing the exact thing that Jesus had told them they must do just before he ascended into heaven. And that was to be his witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth, which is in Acts 1. What a dilemma. They had seen what had happened to Jesus only a few weeks before when he'd been crucified. They themselves had been held in prison and were now being released with threats ringing in their ears. Intimidated they may have been, but they were certainly not cowed. As our passage starts with Peter and John returning to their fellow Christians, telling them about the Sanhedrin's banning them from preaching the gospel. And what was the disciples' response? Was it to worry and suggest that perhaps they should stay quiet for a while so as not to upset the chief priests and elders, not to rock the boat? No. Their response was to come together immediately and raise their voices in prayer to God. How incredible is that? What we see here is the disciples' instinct to turn to God in prayer when they were faced with opposition. And that's wonderful enough in itself. But let's have a look at how they prayed. They prayed with such confidence, and confidence in different ways. They had confidence in how they prayed. Peter and John had just been told not to preach about Jesus. And here, they came together and raised their voices together in prayer to God. No quiet or silent prayer for fear of being overheard by the authorities. No, they raised their voices to God. They prayed with confidence that God is in control. Regardless of the situation or how impossible things may feel, they knew God was in charge. Verse 24 reads, "Sovereign Lord," they said, "you made the heavens and the earth and the sea and everything in them." They pray with confidence in the scripture. Verses 25 and 26 show that the disciples recognize what had happened to Jesus was predestined by God. It had to happen. It was prophesied about in the Old Testament. They pray with confidence that God was working good, even in the evil purposes of others. Their prayer reflects both a deep acknowledgement of human responsibility in verse 27. Indeed, Herod and Pontius Pilate met together with the Gentiles and the people of Israel in this city to conspire against your holy servant Jesus. But they also had a deep trust in God's wisdom, in his sovereign direction in the detailed events of history. For in verse 28 it says, "They did what your power and will had decided beforehand should happen." And they pray with confidence that God can do anything. In verse 30, "Stretch out your hand to heal and perform signs and wonders through the name of your holy servant Jesus." These signs and wonders would authenticate the message of the gospel, and it underlines the disciples' confidence that God would be with them always. So the disciples' response when faced with opposition to spreading the good news was to turn to God and pray with confidence. When faced with difficulties or opposition as a Christian, what is your instinct? Is it to pray or is it to run away? To turn away from God and try and sort it for ourselves? A while ago, I was really struggling with something and a good friend offered to pray with me. And I just said no and walked off. When I got home, I reflected on what had just happened. My friend's instinct had been to pray, mine to run away. I was shocked at my response. Why didn't I want to pray? I went back to my friend and talked with her and talked about what had happened, and we ended up praying together. But for me, it was a real wake-up call. It made me recognize that whatever challenges I face, I need to pray to God at all times and in all situations. And as I was reading this passage and preparing this sermon, that memory came back to me. If only I had read this passage back then, I would have found it so very helpful. For whilst this passage focuses on the disciples facing opposition to their mission, for me, their response is one we can learn from when facing other challenges in our lives, when we ourselves are the opposition, if you like. It's too easy when faced with challenging times to pray half-heartedly, or like me, not at all. But when we are faced with challenging times, we can learn from the disciples and pray with confidence. Here they are being threatened for preaching the good news, and their response is not to pray quietly, not to pray half-heartedly, but to raise their voices and pray with confidence to the sovereign God whose hand is in everything. And notice what else they pray. And I think this is really remarkable. They know that Peter and John were arrested and imprisoned for preaching the good news and healing the lame man. They know they have been banned from speaking and teaching in the name of Jesus. And their response is not to pray for safety from being arrested or from the threats of the Sanhedrin. They don't pray that things will get easier, that they will stop being persecuted. No, they don't pray for any of that. They pray for boldness to speak God's word, boldness to be witnesses to Jesus and the good news. In verse 29, "Now, Lord, consider their threats and enable your servants to speak your word with great boldness." They pray to remain faithful to God and the commission that Jesus left them with, the one we heard in the gospel reading, and the one that's in Acts chapter 1, to be witnesses through all Jerusalem, Samaria, throughout Judea, and to the ends of the earth. They know the command Jesus gave them was far more important than the threats of these chief priests and elders. They are determined to disobey the Sanhedrin, but they know they cannot do it in their own strength. They recognize that they need God's power, the Holy Spirit, in order to do that. And so they pray that God will enable them to preach the good news, and not just to speak it, but to do so with boldness. That's a real challenge for us, isn't it? When we're faced with challenges, in the face of opposition, do we pray for boldness, or do we pray for rescue, for a way out, for an easy life? I know which I tend to do, but we have an example here that challenges us to pray for boldness in those difficult times, to pray that we will still preach the good news, speak about our faith, even when we're in those dark, difficult places. Our passage ends with God hearing the disciples' prayer and responding. Verse 31, after they prayed, the place where they were meeting was shaken, and they were filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God boldly. It must have been quite a sight, mustn't it, to have a prayer answered so obviously, so immediately, and in such a dramatic fashion, with the earth shaking in the place where they were meeting and praying, to be filled with the Holy Spirit, enabling them to speak boldly. It must have been incredible. Now, we know that prayer isn't always answered in this way, but the challenge for us is to pray that God will fill us with his Spirit so that we will be bold in our witness. I know there have been times when I've been speaking to someone about my faith, often a work colleague, usually in a pub, and the conversation drifts round to God. I don't know why, but it often does. And as the conversation starts, I will pray for God to be with me in that conversation. And that does help me as I chat with whoever it is. But now, having looked at this passage, I don't think I should just be praying for God to be with me in those conversations. I think I should be praying for God to give me boldness in those conversations. There are times when I shy away from saying something that I think might upset someone or something they might not like, but perhaps I need to be bolder in being a witness for Jesus. So what does all this mean for us today? We live in a place where we don't face such opposition to our faith. We aren't banned from speaking the good news. But we may face opposition in other ways, lack of interest, or even apathy from friends who don't yet know Jesus. We may face opposition in the way we live our lives, whether people think we're strange for going to church, for some of the choices we make around what we will do or what we don't do. As I said earlier, I think this passage is also helpful when we may face other challenges to our faith, hard times in our personal lives, when we ourselves are the opposition that makes times when it's difficult to speak about boldness in our faith. But also, is it about fear of opposition? Are we worried what people might say if we are open about our faith? Are we scared that they won't speak to us or will stop being our friend if we talk about Jesus? Is it a fear of opposition that is stopping us from being bold in our witness? This passage is really helpful in giving us a challenge to pray differently and to pray to not to be afraid of opposition to our faith. Prayer is fundamental to us as Christians. The early church recognized this. The phrase, they prayed, appears 48 times in Acts. What I love in this passage is the reaction of Peter and John after they had been told they could not preach the gospel. They go to their fellow Christians and pray together. Do we do that? When faced with adversity, a challenge to our faith, is our default to go to our fellow Christians and pray with them? Or like me, do we try and sort it out for ourselves? This isn't a challenge to make you feel guilty or obligated to go and pray. It's a challenge to think about maybe why we don't come together to pray when we are faced with difficulties. The disciples' instinct was to pray. It was a heart response, not a response out of guilt or duty. Why was that? These early Christians knew Jesus personally. They had given up everything to follow him. They had witnessed the miracles he had performed and heard the good news and teaching about how to live from Jesus himself. Following Jesus was part of who they were, so it was a natural response to turn to him in prayer when faced with opposition. They knew he was the only one who could help them. For us as Christians, Knowing Jesus, believing in him, means we choose to live a life obedient to him, according to his will. Not out of duty or obligation, but because we want to bring him glory in how we live. And part of this is knowing we can't do anything in our own strength, but with God, anything is possible. So when faced with challenge or difficult times, our natural response, our instinct, should be to turn to God in prayer. That's what the disciples did, and it's what we should be doing today. So we should pray together, but we should also pray confidently, as the disciples did, starting with praising God, recognising all he has done for us. We can pray confidently, knowing the Bible is true, that God is in everything and is in control. We should pray for boldness, not for an easy life or for our persecutors to fail, but that our witness should be bold, and we should pray with the expectation that God will answer. It's not easy, especially when we don't see prayers answered immediately, but that shouldn't discourage us. There's a whole sermon series on why we think God doesn't answer prayer, which I'm not going to go into today. This passage is focusing on prayer for boldness when faced with persecution. Boldness to proclaim the gospel in that difficult place. It encourages us to think about our heart response when faced with opposition or challenge. To turn to God in prayer, not out of guilt or duty, but confident in the hope we have in Jesus, knowing that he will answer our prayers and is with us in that difficult place. It's also quite scary. What happens if we pray for boldness and God answers in the way he did those early Christians? Well, we must be prepared for that too. But if it doesn't happen, but we still need to be prepared to be witnesses, no matter what the response is, God is with us. No matter how uncomfortable we feel or how challenging it is to speak about our faith, we do it knowing we have the Holy Spirit with us as we proclaim the gospel. So when we face opposition for real, someone who challenges our faith or doesn't want to listen, or simply when we are afraid we might face opposition, how many of us shy away from speaking about our faith, from sharing the good news, because we are afraid what someone might think or say? We are afraid that they might oppose us, and so decide not to say anything. That is when we should pray. Like the disciples, we should pray together here in church on Sunday, at prayer meetings, in our home groups, or just with a friend who you can talk to about your fears and pray together. When faced with challenge, our instinct should be to pray and not to try and sort it out for our own, or even worse, shy away from talking about Jesus. We should pray, praising God with the expectation that he will answer, and that answer will give us boldness in our witness. I was once given some great advice about being a witness to others, and that was to pray before speaking. Talk to God about the person before you talk to the person about God. Talk to God about the person before you talk to the person about God. That way we know God is with us in those conversations, that his Spirit is with us as we speak. And knowing that should give us confidence. Confidence to not just speak about God, but to do so with boldness. To not be afraid of the response we may receive, not to fear what others may think, but like the disciples, pray for boldness in our witness, knowing and trusting that God is in control. That even in whatever difficulties we face, God is there with us, knowing he can do anything. And that should encourage and challenge us to step out in confidence, to spread the good news, to speak God's word with boldness. Let us pray. Father God, we thank you for the great role models you gave us in those early Christians, who in the face of opposition turned to you in prayer, to pray to be bolder in their witness for you. May we too turn to you and seek your abundant grace, enable us to be bold in our witness, enable us to take opportunities to share the good news, no matter how scared we might feel, for we know we have your Spirit with us when we speak. Amen.